In this last part, we present our most recent ideas on how to get a sense of what models are optimal in a really, really fast way. Essentially, we explore different ways how to be as fast as, say, only having to calculate 100 or 1,000 times a single full model and to use that information to say something about optimality of models for any model dimension. Without further ado, let me just share the screen and then jump in into this last part. As just mentioned, we want to use resampling to learn more about what makes models stand out. Let's say again, we would like to learn more about a total of K models. K can again be the power set for a much smaller collection of models. We will use resampling here. I will just focus on using the bootstrap, but any resampling method really can be used. Let's say we have a total of B such resamples. For each model, for each of the K models, we will simply learn from, say, the regression coefficients only and extract those repeatedly. We can collate those in an array of K times P times B regression coefficients. We've seen in this lecture that we can come up with a concept such as inclusion frequencies and use those to then visualize these numbers in variable inclusion plots and so forth. But we will present some alternatives to those different variable importance measures that inform on two things. Firstly, in what way are some features more important than others? Secondly, to also identify for entire models how good those models are. At the core of what makes things really, really fast are subjective measures. I don't think too many here have heard of what a subjective measure is before. It is actually an ingenious idea, now about 9 years old, presented in this paper here by Zhang, Nguyen, and Rao. A subjective measure, let's denote this as Q hat because we estimate something about the quality of a particular model, takes this particular very simple form. It consists of a baseline value S. Typically, S is chosen to ensure that all these measures are non-negative. And from that baseline value S, we then subtract for each feature, J in the model MK, a SJ value. If we assume that model MK only has one variable, then of course we just subtract one number from this baseline value. If it has two variables, we would subtract two values and so forth. All these SJ values, they are non-negative. So for example, we could choose the absolute value of a regression coefficient as such a number as J. A subjective measure Q hat is essentially a bit like a log likelihood. So I think it is a lack of fit measure, but it has particular benefits. And it has the benefits because it is constructed in such a subtractive way. So subtracting these SJ values gives the name of a subjective measure Q hat. I want to just show a toy example to get our head around what is going on. Let's say we have a data set where we have 10 features, 10 variables in total. We denote the full model through just pointing to the features included in the model as here, so just from 1 to 10. Let's assume we fit the full model. We observe regression coefficients for the 10 features, and let's assume those are minus 0.05, minus 0.19, up to 0.03. If we take the absolute value thereof, we guarantee that all the SJ values are non-negative. And if we just focus on the magnitude of those numbers, we observe that in this case here, the ninth value, 0.42, is the largest value of those 10. Now, if I go back one slide, if we aim to use a subjective measure that is a little bit like the log likelihood, meaning the smaller the number of the subjective measure is for a particular model, the better the model. If we try to identify what is the best model with one feature only, of course we are going to identify that feature that subtracts the most from this baseline value S. Meaning, in our toy example, the ninth feature is that feature that makes the best model of one variable only. If we would try to identify the best model of size 2 with two features, we see that this 0.34 value is the next largest value. So subtracting 0.42 and 0.34 from this baseline value S makes Q hat the smallest over all models having two features. And of course, identifying the optimal model of any dimension simply becomes a ranking problem, which is rank all those numbers and observe in what order features would enter. So this is a super fast way of identifying optimal models. The magic really is in the SJs and in the way Q hat is constructed. It gives us a super fast access to identify best models of any size. And it remains fast even when bootstrapping, because this here can be done by calculating essentially a full model only, followed by ranking. And so if you repeat something like this a few hundred times, it is still super fast. But there are different ways to choose SJs. I just showed one way in the toy example, simply by taking the absolute value of a regression coefficient. Of course, there are many different ways to obtain such an estimated value, and we could easily use robust estimators, penalized estimators, a combination thereof, or just classical OLS. An issue with solely taking the absolute value of a regression coefficient is that they can have very different scales. So an alternative to just using the absolute value is standardizing by the standard error of beta hat, getting Walt type statistics, and again by taking the absolute value thereof, we again have non-negative numbers that we can choose. There are things such as quasi-deviances that we could use, and these are things that we currently explore. It is just thrown here to point you to the most recent research that is hopefully available soon in publications. So we want to exploit these kind of ideas to make mplot much faster, and particularly for GLMs, ensuring that we can deal with many more features than just having the number of features in the tens, because this is essentially the current limitation in terms of computation time. Just going back a couple of slides. So we essentially collate from B resampling runs for K models, regression coefficient values, and learn from such an array. There are many different ways to learn from such an array. And one way is, rather than focusing on the actual number, let's just turn those non-negative numbers into rank. So let's just focus on the rank of the absolute value of a regression coefficient, say, and we can calculate a mean rank value for each of the features over all those bootstrap runs. Or we can explore different ways learning from such ranks by learning, say, from the standard deviation of those. Again, the second point here is just things we currently explore in one of the projects, and this may be very, very promising. It is premature to explore this further in this presentation here. Again, just to flag and put the idea out there, so that when you come across it in an eventual publication, that you're hopefully hooked. We also can devise totally new visualizations. And for those of you who would like to see how these look like, send an email to me and I'm happy to share the most recent version of two preprints that we have. But I want to conclude by just working a little bit more with the toy example, show how we can code up in R, say, a basic way to do bootstrap to extract regression coefficients fast. So here we have a ss-tab function. Let's choose as a default value for the number of bootstrap replications 100, and we pass on a full model, can be a LM object or a GLM object. So the full coefficient vector is obtained through the function coefficients mf. We can calculate how many features we have, so the length of that vector, and can make available a basic matrix to collate the B regression coefficient vectors through this line here. So jumping into the actual resampling loop, so we repeat B times, generating exponential weights. So we implement here a exponential weighted bootstrap, where instead of, say, implementing a pairs bootstrap where we, with replacement, would select, say, n rows of our data matrix, we just put a exponential weight, a number that has an average of 1, but of course due to the shape of the exponential distribution can be large or smaller than 1. It is a non-negative weight on each of the observation rows, and by putting such a weight on observation rows, essentially have a way to very quickly resample. So if we have such a exponential weight vector in each of the B runs, so in run I, we just put row weights, calculate a full model, and extract the regression coefficients from the full model. So this is all that is required to obtain B equals 100. That's the default value runs of extracting regression coefficients using a bootstrap type approach. So we show how this works with the diabetes data set in the last package. We extract the main effects, store that in a matrix X, and the response is a Y. The degrees, the data frame is stored in an object called the F. We can calculate the full model and call that full model LM1. And then store regression coefficient values using the SSTAP function from the previous slide and call all those B times 10 regression coefficient values in a matrix that we call SJ. If we just show the first 10 rows of the SJ matrix, then we get those regression coefficient values, and you see that now the numbers are quite familiar. They link back to the toy example. So the coefficient value for variable H is minus 0.05. We observe that the ninth variable, which is LTG, has largest value in terms of magnitude, 0.42, and the third variable BMI had the second largest value of 0.34. So this was for the first bootstrap run. And of course, we observe that the values change as we go from bootstrap run to bootstrap run. We observe that variables such as age sometimes have a negative sign and a positive sign. Now, learning from this matrix, we can maybe just focus on the ranks of the absolute value. So rather than working with signed regression coefficients, we can just calculate the absolute values of the SJs. We override the matrix SJ, which now it only has non-negative values. And for each row, we can calculate what would the rank be of each of those absolute regression coefficient values. And we see that LTG in the first run had the largest value, so has rank 10. BMI would have rank 9. We do see that things do vary in terms of rank. So focusing on LTG, it usually has rank 10, but sometimes here, certainly for the first 10 runs, it is only the second largest value. There is a bit more variety, say, for TC, where for the first 10 runs, things vary from having a rank 6 all the way up to 10. And so we get a sense of in what ways do features differ from each other, what feature typically has consistently a large number, and are there features where their rank would vary more than for others. So we can summarize that information by just aggregating over all the bootstrap runs. In terms of calculating a mean value for feature ranks in terms of their magnitude, we see that LTG over all the 100 bootstrap runs would have an average rank of 9.33, making it the most important feature, followed by TC, then BMI. So we get such a ranking, and that informs on the order of importance of features. We can also explore a little bit on how widely the features vary in their rank. So we could look at a frequency table in terms of the ranks. If we take the fifth column, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if we take the fifth column, so that is TC. If we were just to look at how is TC ranked, we see that in 2 out of 100 runs, it was actually ranked the least important. In 49% of the runs, it was ranked the most important. So TC is a variable that varies considerably in some ways, but certainly in terms of where it is most stably positioned, it is in the higher end of the ranks. For LTG, a different variable, so the ninth, we have much more stability. So the range is from a rank 6 to a rank 10, with larger percentages on it being ranked 9, 57% of the time, or rank 10, 39% of the time. What you've just seen are very new ways to come up with ways to measure what makes features important, and not very new ways on measuring stability. And those two preprints really present much more about those new ways. Now, this last part, admittedly, is much less mature than the other parts, but we wanted to consciously expose you to where current action takes place in making such stability-based methods really fast. One way to making it really fast is ensuring that the way we measure lack of fit guarantees that things can be fast. And one such way where things are super fast is using this relatively new concept of subjective measures, where through the way these are constructed, we can identify optimal models as fast as simply calculating a full model and then ranking values that we extract from the full model for each feature.